Welcome to the Titanium Economy Podcast, where we showcase leaders from across the industrial sector as they share their valuable experiences, expertise, strategies, and more. These in-depth conversations with the brains behind the businesses lift the lid on how success is cultivated within the titanium economy.
We are joined today by Ed Dowling, CEO of Compass Minerals, a company at the forefront of supplying essential minerals that power everyday life, from salt for highway safety, to plant nutrition for agriculture, to lithium for the emerging energy storage economy. Ed Dowling brings over 30 years of global leadership in mining and minerals. Before joining Compass Minerals, he served as the CEO of SSR Mining, Meridian Gold, and held senior roles at De Beers and Cleveland Cliffs. He has also chaired Polyus and Copper Mountain Mining, and currently sits on the board of Teck Resources. A former U.S. Navy Petty Officer, Ed holds bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees in mineral processing from Penn State University. Ed, it's a pleasure to have you with us today.
Yeah, thanks for the invitation and look forward to the discussion.
Ed, diving straight into the hot topic of the day, we want to discuss tariff and the current environment and its impact. So coming straight to Compass Minerals, how has Compass Minerals felt the impact of the current 2025 tariff regime?
Yeah, we've experienced impacts on a couple of different levels, which I'll get to in a second. You know, but first, Compass Minerals responsibly produces essential minerals, as you said, from the earth. There's a variety of salts for highway de-icing to promote commerce, for example, when it's snowing or icy, agricultural products, water treatment, chemical applications, and human consumption for salt. Salt is the only rock that humans actually eat. And we make plant nutrition products for specialized applications. These are non-chloride type fertilizers, really for things like almonds and my favorite wine grapes. And lithium and magnesium, which are both deemed critical minerals by the United States. The tariffs impacted our business initially due to the uncertainty on the applicability to our international trade. And how this initially impacted us is we held off, even though our market had expanded due to a really good snow year last year. Now, when we say a good winter, we mean we get snow. I would like a nice warm winter, but skiers and Compass Minerals are pretty well aligned. We held off on expanding production to meet market needs until the impact of the tariffs was clarified, not only for our imports between Canada and the United States, for example, but also using commercial vessels and many other aspects of that. After some time, that was clarified that our products and really logistical network were later deemed and designated as USMCA compliant and exempt from the tariffs themselves. Nevertheless, there was an opportunity cost that against our plans because we didn't want to invest in expanding production, which we could have done until it was really clear. We'll talk a bit about more of that later in one of your later questions. But despite being USMCA compliant, that's a trade agreement between the United States, Mexico, and Canada, we're now seeing sort of second order impacts, really on the availability and the cost of supplies to really serve our operating business units. We're seeing inflation and in some cases the inability to obtain things that were before pretty easy for us to get to source.
That's an interesting segue into the next question, right? Because as you're alluding to, right, so these shifts or these tariffs have now become structural rather than temporary, right? So it's not a supply shock anymore. They're here to stay, for at least for the foreseeable future. So how does that shape your strategy as Compass?
Yeah, I'm sure like everyone else who may be listening to this, it's required a really restructuring of our supply chains, not so much on our outbound in terms of our products, but more on our inbound supplies to serve our business, kind of advancing alternative suppliers, different logistical networks, and contingency planning around these second order impacts. You know, we've had multi-sourcing, you know, before we may have sole source agreements with certain key suppliers. And what we found is that today, whereas before, the risk associated with that was considered relatively low, and through a sole source agreements, for example, you might have the benefits of lower costs, but the risks associated with that now for certain parts of our supply chain are probably too high. And so it's required us to advance sort of multiple suppliers and more complexity to our business as associated with that.
Got it. So just to make it a little more real for our listeners, right? So among salt, plant nutrition, lithium, which business for Compass has been the most exposed to tariffs? And if you can give us an example on how you are adapting in one of those cases.
Among salt and lithium and our metals business, again, our products are USMCA excluded or really designated as critical minerals. So again, the supply has been more in our inbound supply chain, but it's really affected our salt business probably more than the other business segments that we have. And it's because there's a lot of specialized equipment that we use, for example, for underground mining or processing of these salts. And, there's generally not a lot of suppliers, and these businesses are very global to serve really large pieces of mining equipment, for example, or the way that we move materials around at underground mines or on our surfaces. Generally, there's just a handful of suppliers globally that supply this type of equipment. And as I mentioned before, generally, you would end up with sort of a relationship with a sole source supplier, but it's required us to really reassess that sort of relationships and start diversifying our supply chains to really minimize that risk. And in some cases, as I mentioned before, parts which would have been readily available are really not. We find that we can move things across the borders, and there's really no particular impact for that, but it's more difficult to get across the borders now, even in terms of materials and even sometimes people. When you're going across the border in a multinational company, we're very careful about making sure that our people are not carrying letters of invitations and things like that, and making it clear to customs authorities, for example, that what sort of work they're doing and what sort of work they're not doing. So we see that, and I've actually suffered that a week ago myself. Luckily, I had the letter with me.
All right, and so just shifting tracks a little bit, right? So one of the discussions that is probably being had in every executive conference room across the country, right, is how do you balance absorbing tariff costs versus passing them through to customers in essential markets? So how's Compass dealing with it, and what are your views on the topic?
We got started on this really early when it became clear that this was a risk to the business, even before the tariffs were enacted. So, we're really careful about talking about costs and our sales strategies, but I'll say what we told our shareholders, which is public information. And so we started engaging with our customer base before tariffs were actually enacted, and we really to let them understand that this was risk. Some cases, some of our customers were pretty oblivious to what this could mean to them, and others, were concerned about it. Our initial strategy was, we pre-positioned material, like millions of tons, in some cases of materials across the border into warehouses to serve your needs over the course of a year, putting an inventory. But if all of a sudden that's being subject to tariffs, sitting in a warehouse because we shipped across the international border, you're going to need to pick up that difference. Different parts of the business had different reactions to that. Some of them said, we could do that. And that's more on kind of higher value products is what we've seen. And more bulk sort of materials, which, for example, highway de-icing salts, where we serve states and municipalities, there was no welcomeness or no openness to be able to pass that along to them. These contracts are generally negotiated year in advance. That in itself is what slowed us down from ramping up some of our operations and putting materials into inventory to serve them over the course of the year, the winter season, coming here in a couple of months. So we've seen a different in different areas. You know, other parts of the business are really just served domestically, and so it's really no issue there. But it's a little bit different, I think, in a generalization. Higher value products, which we see with our consumer and industrial type salts, we were able to get agreements that if the tariffs actually came to be, that we'd be able to pass that along. And they say the larger bulk, we were unsuccessful in doing that. So we've had to modify our business. It cost us many millions of dollars in opportunity costs this year.
That's an interesting observation there, Ed, right? So we've talked about the various resilience levers, right? You've talked about multi-sourcing, dual sourcing. You've talked about how do you scale operations. There could be options for reshoring, right? So you negate the effect. So what have you found to be the most relevant, at least for Compass right now?
Yeah, it's, really for us, it's on our inbound. Now, initially, we were looking at everything in terms of contingency planning. But what has actually come to bear to this point is dual sourcing, making sure that we have alternative supply, are really critical things for our business, really looking whereas before a lot of our materials were going cross-border, and a lot of consumable materials in particular were going cross-border, looking at what the alternatives are in the different nations that we do business. We do business in the U.S., U.K., and in Canada largely, and so so it's really just redoing our supply chains to build more resiliency in alternatives if there's an issue that emerges.
Just to hear the other side of the story, right? Does the current tariff landscape create opportunities for North American lithium producers as well? Are there anything that you can share with us?
Yeah, but you know, both lithium and magnesium are critical minerals. And deemed as really essential in to the U.S. economy and really sort of defense efforts. Most of the lithium, let me first say as a mining person that the lithium content in the Earth's crust is not low. It's relatively high. So there's a lot of lithium out there. The question is, how can you really produce it at a low cost and high quality needed for by the customer base. So, but almost all U.S. production is consumed domestically. Imports into the U.S., largely from South America, maybe Australia, are from very low-cost deposits. So, you know, despite the tariffs, they still remain very competitive in the domestic market, but are now more motivated to serve markets where they can achieve higher margins. So they're actually more motivated now rather than bringing their kind of low cost lithium, which would be subject to tariffs in some cases, into the U.S., for example. They're more motivated to go to markets, Europe and Asia, for example, where they can achieve higher margins. More importantly, what we see the results of the administration and perhaps the tariffs related to this, to the lithium market in general, is really just a slowdown in policy supporting conversion, for example, vehicles to more efficient and clean EVs, for example. So I think we all read about that and see that, and that has a direct impact on that sort of slowdown in the uptake, for example, electric vehicles, affects the overall market demand.
Coming up to the broad industry and policy outlook, right? So in your opinion, do tariffs ultimately help U.S. producers remain competitive, or do they create more volatility in the global trade?
Well, look, I think we all understand the motivation for a level playing field. I think I'd say that in the first statement. And, you know, different nations have had different sort of trade policies for a long time. And I think the administration is trying to address that. That said, tariffs by their very nature are protective. And as a result, really undermine competitive pressures, really resulting in productivity by participating in a competitive global market. I think ultimately tariffs are inflationary for domestic consumers. I think we are seeing that here in the U.S. and elsewhere around the world as these supply chains are being reordered. So I think, you may see it help certain segments of production in the U.S., you know, and that may be good for a period of time, but ultimately you've got to be competitive. And if you're not competitive everywhere, you're really not competitive. So we'll, you know, we're all supportive of a level playing field. I think that's easy to say, but, you know, competition in business is good. It's good for the consumer. Tariffs, I think, undermine that competition.
According to you, Red, what role should industrial CEOs play in policy conversations around tariffs and supply chain resilience?
Yeah, you know, the companies and CEOs, I think related industry associations, all stakeholders have been engaged with policy conversations and impacts, you know, demonstrated impacts of that and really offering sort of alternatives. And I'd say for the most part, this engagement has been with the administration and with Congress has been very constructive. And, you know, we've seen some positive changes as a result of that. I think that's something that's going to be needed to stay really vigilant about. I think one of the issues we're dealing with is the lack of consistency in what policy really is. And it's sort of, you know, trying to stay abreast with kind of a moving policy, I think is difficult. So, you know, I think consistency is a really important thing.
On a closing note, Ed, right? So if you had one piece of advice for our industrial leaders navigating this tariff volatility, right? What would it be?
Look, you know, as we all know that you can, you know, understand risk and you can invest into risk because if you understand the risk, you could put elimination or mitigation strategies associated with that. And you know, that's a managed risk. And that's a good thing sometimes because generally risk and reward go hand in hand. But it's, you cannot invest into uncertainty. And I think that's a real problem trying to, you know, for people running businesses in different parts of our economy. And, you know, I think we need to press for clear and really consistent policies and give us a chance to really understand how to navigate our businesses through kind of a different playing field at this point. So I think, you know, the policy seems to keep me moving. And I think consistency, I think, moves uncertainty into something you could consider risk. So I think the uncertainty by its nature is really dangerous for our economies. Okay.
That's a great thought, Ed. Thank you so much for your time. As always, really appreciate your thoughts and sharing the experience from Compass Minerals and how you're navigating the tariff regime. Thanks again.
Yeah, quite welcome. It's nice to see you and best to all.
Thank you for listening to the Titanium Economy Podcast. To learn more, share feedback, and stay up to date, please visit titaniumeconomy.com.